Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
And right now, this message is from the heart. I'm just going to speak. I'm going to talk to you. And I just want to share what God put on my heart towards fathers, because, you know, I want to break the shame that comes around on Father's Day. You know, it's just a shame that comes upon people. People's heads are held down low. People are not as cheery and excited as Mother's Day, right? And I want to break that shame, because fathers are rising up in this day. Amen. Fathers are rising up in this day. In this hour, the spirit of Elijah is on this generation. Fathers are being restored back to their children, and children are being restored back to their fathers. Fathers are stepping into their identity, and children are embracing a father's love once again. When Ryan declared, let's pray over our fathers, and we began to declare freedom over fathers, we need to war against the spirit that will try to constrict and restrict men from being fathers. We need to release the freedom again so that men can be men and walk the earth as Elijahs with authority and dominion and not feel intimidated or ashamed about it. Right, so we speak against the spirit of shame that would try to creep upon men and children who didn't have their fathers. Right, because if the hearts of children will be restored back to fathers, the shame has to go. Amen. So let's say we cast off shame. Everybody, we cast off shame off of every child towards their fathers. And we cast off shame over every father who couldn't be a father to their children. And we restore the freedom, the liberty, the grace, and the power for fathers to be fathers once again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. It speaks about a lot about original intent or the original intentions of God. And I'm a firm believer that if you're going to understand anything, you got to understand its intent and its origin. Why does it exist? Why was it created? And how is it supposed to function? And I want to talk about manhood, and I want to talk about fatherhood, and I want to give you 3 points. 3 points that every man should never do. And what I want you to walk away with is to have a new, a fresh, a clear understanding of how this society is supposed to look according to God's point of view. If you don't mind, can we just turn that off? I don't think it's that hot in here. It's blowing my Bible, my pages away. If it gets too hot, you just turn it back on, alright? Alright, Genesis chapter 1. We have to say amen. We're going to look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Let's jump to chapter 2. We're going to read verse 15 together. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. Everybody say freely.
Freely.
You may freely eat of it. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For the day you eat it, you shall surely die. And let's look at chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And so I hid myself. Jump down to verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you listened to the voice of your wife, because you have listened to the voice of your wife over my voice, and you ate of the tree which I commanded you not to, that you should not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Verse 19, and in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Amen. The reading of the word is blessed. I want you to put your hand on your heart like this. Say, I believe the word of God. I receive the word of God. My mind is alert, and my heart is open to be transformed by the sword of the Spirit. I believe Pastor J.R. is anointed to preach the word with power. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, where we want to start today, you know, 2 years ago, as you can hear, walking down the hall, I was blessed. As Ryan talked about the child being a blessing, I was blessed with a beautiful daughter, young woman, 2 going on 22, Peyton Brooke. And I remember, I always believed that I was going to have a son first. But everything I thought I was going to be able to do with my son, I think I can still do with Peyton. But she's a tough cookie. I love Peyton, and I remember when Peyton came into the world, and you know, even while we were going through labor, even while we were going through labor, I knew the doctor said it. Look, it was a girl, but I was still believing that it would have been a boy. So it wasn't until she actually exited the womb, and I seen her full head of hair. I said, it's a girl. And my heart literally just got so warm, so filled with joy. I just started crying immediately when I saw her. I mean, it's one of those experiences, and as fathers, you will be able to relate that when you just see the fruit of your womb or the fruit of your loins, the fruit of your wife's womb in your hand, it's just like, oh my gosh, we created this. And I cried, I laughed, and I was just like so in awe of the miracle. You know, childbirth is a miracle. It's an amazing thing. I mean, miraculous. And I remember when I was just sitting down with her, the first thing I began to think about was, I can't disappoint her. I can't let her down. Those were the first thoughts that came to my head. That I don't want to let her down. I don't want to disappoint her. I always want to be in her life. And so, later on, again, she came home. I'm driving. I mean, that was the slowest I ever drove. From Long Island all the way back to Brooklyn. I was driving like 10 miles per hour. I was so cautious and so concerned. I mean, some guy, he kind of cut in front of me, and I just almost lost it. I'm like, what are you doing? I got a baby in here. I mean, everything about me, my senses of fatherhood kicked in. I mean, the sense of protection, care, oversight kicked in, that I wanted to make sure that Peyton was taken care of. And, but again, as I was just considering about the responsibility that I had to take care of my daughter, a sense of worry and fear began to slowly creep in, because I just didn't want to do anything stupid to let her down. That was not my intention, of course, but when you consider the reality that most of us have faced, many of us who did not have fathers around or as connected to us or as close to us in our lives as much as we have really wanted, my thought was, I don't want to be like that. I know I'm deep. I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But I was still worried that the fact that I won't disappoint my daughter. You know, a dad, somebody said a dad is a son's first hero and a daughter's first love. And when a father is void, we all know the pain and we all know the concern and worry that creates in a home. Because, as Ryan mentioned earlier, how God established man on the earth to be able, you know, fathers are nature's leaders. We don't need a father or a man should never have to worry about whether he's a leader or not. We are leaders by birth. God created us to rule and to have dominion on the earth. And so we understand that the weight of responsibility falls primarily on us as men. We understand that. But what our society doesn't teach us or provide for us is how to be an effective man, an effective leader. And what we oftentimes begin to do is the first thing we do as not just men, but people in general, the first thing we can do is to consider the closest person to us to give us an example of where we are in life. So for example, if you became a mother, the first person you thought about, wait, I got a daughter, how do I be, or a son, how do I raise this child? You're going to think about your mom and how she raised you, right? Or if you're, like when I became a teacher, the first thing I thought about was, who was the best teacher that I knew? Then I began to mirror what I knew that teacher did. Because now I'm in a position of leadership, I want to figure out, how do I do this right? And every father, every man has a responsibility to be three things at some point in their life. To be a son, to be a father, and to be a husband. At some point, God's destiny or God's plan for every man is for you to be a son at some point, to be a father at some point, and to be a husband, right? That's what we see from the very beginning, the blueprint. And so every man has to be able to understand, how do I serve and fill those functions and those responsibilities? Before you can call a vocational occupation your identity, you're a son, you're a father, or you're a husband. Before you can say, well, I'm a CEO, or I'm a businessman, or I'm a recording artist, before you're any of those things, you're a son, you're a father, or you're a husband. Amen? You're a man. When I read Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 26, God said, let us make man in what? Our image. Which means manhood is found in the nature of God. Manhood, what it means to be a man. What it means to be a man, a father, a son, a husband, everything else that we would need to be, who God has created us to be, is going to be found in the nature of God, because God created us in His image. You see, the first man on the earth was who? Adam. When Adam was on the earth, what other man was on the earth when God created him and placed him there? There was no man. There were animals, there were trees, there were rivers, there were stars in the sky and all these other things, but there was no man next to Adam. That Adam was going to find his sense of identity by his relationship with God. Right? The first thing that I want you to understand about manhood is that a man cannot, this is what I said, I want to show you three things you should never do. A man should never seek to find his manhood by who he thinks he is, but by who God says he is. You can add to that, a man should never try to find his identity or find out who he is by who society says he is. Because the only way Adam was going to know who he was through looking at his creator. Because he was made in his image. Think about that. Adam had no man to look to. You know, he didn't have any biological fathers on the earth. His father was God. Who he was going to be as a man, as a husband, as a father, was going to be based on what he saw from God. And I really believe that this is God's original intent for every man. That we will not try to find out who you're supposed to be by what the world says, by what society says. But we need to come back to a place where we recognize, according to verse 26, God said, let us make men in our image, after our likeness. The nature of God, the character of God, reveals to us who we are supposed to be. God's integrity, God's likeness, God's character, God's fellowship, God's faithfulness, all those different characteristics of God are the same characteristic and attributes we're supposed to have. God is love, right? God is merciful. God is abundant. The first thing we can begin to do to shape our identity as men is by having a healthy view of God. And I believe that when we begin to look at God not just as a distant father, not as a distant father, because the reality is, our view of God is shaped by our experiences with our natural fathers. You ever realize that? That how a person views God is oftentimes shaped by how they view their natural fathers. You know why the responsibility of being a man is so important? Because we stamp into the lives of other people's hearts what God looks like. That's why the Bible says that we are the body of Christ, right? That what we do to others is how people will begin to recognize and see the fact that God is like that. So anybody ever been blessed by somebody and then you said, man, God is good? Yeah. Why did you say God is good, not the person? Why? Because you subconsciously understand that if someone does something good for you, that means God is being good to you. That's what being the body of Christ is, because people interpret God based on how we treat them. So if you had a father who always took care of you, who always loved on you, who always provided for you, then it's easy for you to see God that way. But if you've never had a dad who loved on you, who was able to say, I'm proud of you, to affirm you, and to bless you, then it's hard for you to see God that way, right? You know, most of the most notorious atheists in the world, David Hume, Russell Bertrand, these guys who boast about being atheists and they have books and all this stuff. If you look at all of their stories, most of them had a father who wasn't there in their life, or a father who died early and they never knew them. Most of the atheists that you see who are like the biggest influences in the world for atheism all didn't have good relationships with their dad. It's very interesting. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, you look at verse 15, the Bible says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it. So the first thing we see that God do for man is give him an identity. And his identity was going to be found in the image of God, the likeness of God. That I have to look to God and know that my sense of identity is coming from him. The second thing we see God do for man in chapter 2, verse 16, is that God put man into the garden and gave him responsibility over it. That God gave man provision. Everybody say provision. That Adam didn't have to work. The Bible says God took the man and put him in the garden not to work, but to do what? Dress it or tend to it, guard it, and keep it. So Adam, when he came on the earth, what his dad did, who was God, his dad said, Adam, this is my house. This is my garden. I'm putting you in here. Your job is to keep it. Your job is not to build anything. Your job is not try to work for anything. Your job is to simply receive what I've given you and keep it. Guard it. Protect it. God gave him an entire garden, all his needs met, all provision made, everything paid for. He had nothing to do. This was his inheritance. Just receive the inheritance and enjoy it. Okay, keep it and protect it. But what was the one thing he said in verse 16? The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you may what? Freely eat. So not only did God give him a finished work, not only did he give him provision, but he also gave him freedom. God gave the man freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
He gave him freedom, but he gave him freedom to choose. He said, you can choose to eat of every tree in the garden. You have abundance to choose from. Every tree you can eat from. But this tree, called the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it, or you shall surely die. The knowledge of good and evil, I like to call it the tree of reasoning. It was the tree when man began to learn, not that man forgot how to live by the revelation of God, but they began to live by the reasoning of their own minds. Because man, when they ate from this tree, began to look at a knowledge that was state, am I good enough? Do I qualify? Can I? Or, I'm not worthy, I don't qualify enough, I'm not good enough. This tree of knowledge of good and evil began to put a sense of reasoning in man's heart that wasn't there before. Before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all man knew was that God is good, he takes care of me, I don't have to worry about anything. That was the composure of man on the earth before sin. But when man sinned and began to pursue the knowledge of good and evil, what they began to do was look at themselves. And the Bible says that when man sinned, we fell short of the what? Of the glory of God, and we were no longer capable of fulfilling our responsibility on the earth. All of that because we began to look at our own selves as being adequate enough or capable enough. We began to measure ourselves based on our qualifications. Look what happened in chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord their God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is after the sin. We know the story, right? You guys following me? So after they heard the voice, they walked in the garden. And then the Bible said they heard the voice of God, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And God called to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I hid because I was afraid. Fear was the first symptom of sin in the man. That when he fell from the presence of God, the first thing man began to do was be afraid. Which means that that was not a part of God's plan for man to ever have to be afraid about anything in life. But you know where Adam's confidence was going to come from? It wasn't going to come from his performance, because God already gave him a finished work. It wasn't going to come from how much of a man he can be by what he can try to offer to the garden or what he can try to produce in the human race. His sense of manhood was simply found in looking at God, doing what God said, believing what God said he was, trusting in the fact that God was good. That was his sense of confidence, his sense of worth, his sense of identity was just simply in God said so, I believe it. And everything is taken care of. But the minute he began to see himself contrary to who God said he was, he saw himself naked and he was afraid. You see, when I started off talking about when I had pain and I began to think about being a good dad and being in her life and not letting her down, that was me reasoning within myself whether I was good enough, capable enough. And for so many men, you don't understand, that's going into their heart right now. They're reasoning between good and evil. Am I capable? Am I qualified? Can I be there? Can I do it or can I not? And as long as Adam saw himself outside of the presence of God, he always saw himself naked. And that word naked simply means I don't have what it takes. I'm stripped of what I once had. I can't be the father. I can't be the husband. I can't be the son you created me to be because I'm naked. I'm missing something. But what was Adam really missing at this point? What was he really missing? What was Adam looking for? What was he looking for? You know what happened to Adam? Adam wanted to become a man without God. Did you catch that? When he took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was Adam trying to be a man the way God wanted him to be without God. Because God didn't give him permission to eat from that tree. So what was he looking for when he ate from that tree? Manhood. A sense of authority, but without God's permission. Right? What's that? As Saquon mentioned, assurance. The number one temptation that the devil sends to men is for you to try to become a man without God. To build your identity, to build your sense of worth according to how you think it should look. Or according to what society thinks you should be. Because the war over children today and over fathers today is who's going to father you. Are you going to be fathered by God? Remember when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees? He said, you're not of my father. You are of your father. What? The devil. Because at this point, when Adam strayed from the presence of God, he was no longer living as a son of God. He was now orphaned. When God cast him from the garden, who was Adam now going to turn to learn how to be a man? There was no other man on the earth. And the only person he was called to look to learn how to be a man was the person's image and likeness he was created from. Who was who? God. God. So Adam, who was stripped, he was naked, reasoning within himself whether he was qualified or capable enough. As we see, the Bible says in verse 18, the curse that came upon man was that by the sweat of your face, you shall eat. You will have to work, toil, work extremely hard all the days of your life. The finished work I gave you, where everything was already prepared for you, you got to strive and work for it all your life, because now you're trying to be a man without me. And it's always going to be too hard. It's always going to leave you stripped. It's always going to leave you in lack, because that wasn't the way God designed for us to live as men. You know how I got confidence to be a father and to be a husband? It's not because I think that I'm righteous or holy or good enough. It's because I understand that God gave man a responsibility, and it is God's responsibility to take care of the man. So I told you first, a man should find his manhood. A man should never find his manhood based on who he thinks he is, but he should find it based on who God says he is. Amen? That includes his worth. That includes his work. Number two, a man should never build his manhood on his performance and accomplishments. A man should never build his manhood on his performance and accomplishments. Although I'm talking to men and women, you need to hear this too. Right? A man should never build his manhood on his performance or his accomplishments. You see, for a man, we find our security in what we can do. That's why for a man, if he doesn't feel like he has a specific skill set or task, he doesn't feel like much of a man. What hurts is when a woman comes alongside and puts a man down for not being able to perform. Right? But, you see, the Bible shows us the perfect man was Jesus. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, the Bible talks about that when Jesus went to be baptized, that after he was baptized, he came out of the water, and the Bible says that the heavens opened, and that the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the Father spoke over him and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What I love about that verse was that at this point, Jesus did not perform a miracle yet. This was before he began his ministry. This was before he walked on water. This is before he fed 5,000. This is before he cast out any demons. This is before he healed anybody. Before Jesus performed or did anything of significance that was in the public's eye, the Father spoke openly and said, "I approve of him." It wasn't because of what he did. You see, Jesus did not find his security in life based on his performance. His security, his assurance, came from knowing that the Father loved him. The Father's love. It was the revelation that the Father already loved him. And it wasn't based on what he could earn, what he could strive for, what he can produce in his own strength. It was simply based on the fact that I'm loved by God. And Jesus, you know, Jesus walked through the entire earth living with that one reality. I'm loved by God. God loves me. God takes care of me. God provides for me. He understood who he was in the Father's eyes. And that was what empowered Jesus to live the life he lived. And as men, the only way we're going to be able to live the life that God wants us to live is by having that same sense of security and peace and knowing that we are loved perfectly by a perfect God who doesn't just see us or treat us as distant sons, but he calls us his own beloved sons. If we don't have that assurance in our heart, we're going to continue to try to become men without God. And that always leads to failure. Amen? I'll show you number three. Number three, a man should never... Can I get the board right quick? A man... This is the third one. A man should never depend on his ability to manage his responsibility. This is the biggest thing I want you to walk away with. A man should never... Say that with me. A man should never depend on his ability to manage his responsibility. See, the weight of responsibility that comes on us as men, it becomes overwhelming. it becomes overwhelming. And it will be overwhelming if you don't understand that God doesn't want you to depend on your ability. I'll take a marker. Thank you. Now, along with authority, we all know the saying, God gave man authority, dominion on the earth, and all this stuff. But one of the most important things you got to understand about authority is the reason why a person has authority, or legally has authority, he has a legal authority, is not because so much that this person is just so much smarter or so much wiser or better, but because the person has been given a responsibility. Authority and responsibility are synonymous. On your job, the boss has authority because he has the responsibility of running the organization. Right? In the classroom, a teacher has authority because it's their responsibility to instruct the class. In the home, the father has authority because the responsibility falls on the husband. So we know that when Eve ate the fruit, we didn't see God go to Eve. But when Adam ate the fruit, God went to Adam because the responsibility was on him because of the authority he had in the earth realm over the family. So authority and responsibility go hand in hand. The only reason why men have authority over women is because God has given us responsibility to take care of the woman. The reason why a man has authority in the household is because God has given the man the responsibility over the household. Right? That where the father goes, so goes the family. So with the authority and the responsibility comes this. But what happens is, as men, we become so focused on the responsibility and we begin to depend on our knowledge of good and evil and begin to reason back and forth whether I'm capable enough or I'm qualified enough or I can do this or I can't do it. And if we don't know God, if we don't have our sense of worth and identity in Him, and if we're trying to depend on our own strengths to do it, what begins to happen is we begin to look at everyone else and say, you know what, I can't be a dad like Rupert. Man, I'm not a good dad like Marcus. You know, I can't be that person. And we begin to think, well, I shrink away from my responsibility. And a man won't talk about it, he just will distance himself. Because he doesn't feel that he can manage the responsibility. But you know the assurance and peace that I have in knowing God is that I don't have to worry about depending on my ability to manage my responsibilities well. The very word responsibility can be broken down into three different words. Sponsor, and ability. The word re means to go back. Sponsor, what's a sponsor? A person that gives resources, funds, support for a specific task, and ability, strength, the capacity. What you are to remember every single time you embrace a responsibility as a man, to be a father, to be a husband, to be all that God has called you to be, you must always remember to go back to the sponsor of your ability. A sponsor gives to you to take care of a task. And the only reason why God gave you a responsibility so that you can always remember that to be a father, I'm not depending on my ability, but I go back to the sponsor, the donor of my ability to be the father that God created me to be. As a husband, I need to always remember, God, you called me to be a husband. That was your plan. So because this is your responsibility you've given me, I'm going to go back to you to provide, to care for, to give me everything I need, to sponsor me, to take care of my tasks. You're giving me the ability to do what you call me to do. Hallelujah. If your call, if your image and your likeness, your identity is found in God, and God said, in order for you to be a man, men, you got to look at me to be it. The reason why he does that is because every revelation you have of your Father in heaven, it will begin to produce a power or ability in you to live the way he wants you to live. I can't live like God outside of my ability, outside in my own strength. I need God's ability to live like God. So if God wants us to be a father, he knows I can't be a father without him. If God wants me to be a husband, he knows I can't be a husband without him. Or effective one. Come on. Does it make sense? Let's say it. I'm going to go back to the sponsor of my ability. You got to get excited about that. The pressure is not on you, man. It's not about how hard you work. It's about the God who's giving you the grace and the ability to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. When a woman tries to put all the pressure on you to be a man, you go back to the sponsor of your ability. I'm a man because God is sponsoring me to be a man. See, I can't be a man outside of God's strength. I can't be there. I can't be there all the time. I can't always make you happy, but God can. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, once I got this reality, changed the way I approach life. You see, in our Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. As I close, the reason why Jesus preached about the Father, that's all he talked about. He said, when we pray, say what? Our Father. He was bringing us into this reality. Our Father, which art in heaven. When Jesus was at the age of 12, he said to all his mother, Mom, don't you know I should be about my Father's business? Right? He taught us in Matthew 6. He said, your Father takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies in the field. How much more will your Father take care of you? You see, he is the sponsor of our ability. And if we treat every responsibility we have on this earth and live from a perspective of knowing that God, you designed me to be a dad, and I'm going to be a good dad according to your strength, according to your grace, your ability flowing in my life. The workload now lifts off of you and it's back on God, who is the sponsor of your ability, and he would provide what you need. But the minute I worry and fear and see myself naked, I begin to distance myself from the provision, from the sponsorship, from everything that God already wants to give me to be who God called me to be. Hallelujah. How many men feel like they need more grace to be who God has called them to be? Come on. How many women want to see more men living by grace and not their own strength? Hallelujah. You see, Eve wanted Adam to live by his own strength. Come on. See, Adam, you can eat this too. That's why God said, because you listen to the voice of your wife, cursed shall you be. Because she allowed him to talk him into forgetting about who God, the sponsor of his ability. I gave you the instructions, Adam. Come on. And so, God gave us this responsibility, which means he would take care of us. He would take care of our needs. He would take care of our homes. He would take care of our families. He would take care of our children. But all we need to do is learn to trust him. All we need to do is repent and to unlearn what we may have taught in this world. To be a man, to try to be a man in our own strength by our performance and our accomplishments. If we go back to the three commands I just gave you, what a man should never do. Number one, a man should never find his manhood on who he thinks he is. but who God says he is. Let's say that together, man. I will never
build my manhood
on who I think I am. But who God says I am. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I'm about my father's business. Number two, I would never build my manhood.
Based on my performance.
And my accomplishment. Right? Number three, what I do, I would never depend on my ability to manage my responsibility. But I'm going to go back to the sponsor of my abilities. Amen? Let's all stand.